When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
I've been seeing all these idioms popping up in my Instagram feed, meaning, you know, a common saying where the words aren't to be taken literally, but figuratively. And there's always meaning behind these things. And chances are you use some of these expressions in conversation frequently, maybe even every day. But where do they come from? Well, there's only one guy I know that has so much worthless information stored in his head. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, retired WGN newsman and my overnight comrade from back in the day, Roger Badish.
You know, I keep turning up like a bad penny, Dave.
You do. You do. What nursing home are you calling from right now, by the way?
I'm in the resort.
The resort side?
I have a resort up in the mountains.
Oh.
How's the reception? It's because, you know, we don't get, you know, full service up here. You know?
I think that's an anomaly because you're in a nursing facility, aren't you?
Up in the mountains.
Is the straitjacket uncomfortable? I just want to ask you that.
Let me move the other arm. Okay, that's better.
Okay,
the blood was getting cut off.
Good. How are you, buddy? I love hearing your voice now and then, of course. You've been retired a couple of years now, right? Three?
Yeah. Almost three.
Wow.
Half and a half, yeah.
What's life like?
It might be three end of October, I think, yeah.
Playing with the dog, sitting in the garden. What's going on these days for Roger Badish?
Doing a lot of garden work when Mother Nature isn't being such a mean person, turning up the temperature and the humidity.
Golfing much?
Taking care of the golfing just hasn't really happened this year because the weather just hasn't been cooperating. Every time I try to set up a date to go golfing with some of the guys, it's either pouring rain or the humidity is too high. And, you know, we're getting on in years there, youngster.
those are good
not
problems
so,
to have.
Not so young either on my end, you remember, in case you forgot.
You know, you can run as fast as you can, Mr. Jennings. You still ain't going to catch up with me.
Trust me. There'll be no running involved. And I have asked. I'm no longer in the youth category.
All right. What are you watching these days? Like you're keeping yourself busy on television? You watching Gunsmoke or Family Affair?
Actually,
what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I have gotten Bridget hooked on the original Doctor Who series.
Oh, okay.
Which doctor?
The very first doctor, William Hartnell.
What? Really?
Yes, I told you. You know, I'm just as surprised as you are. But she loves it, and I love it. And if people are too used to the modern day special effects of the Doctor Who series, if you want to kind of chuckle a bit. Check out the William Hartnell. It's on Amazon Prime, but I think we've got it through our BritBox subscription through Amazon Prime. So that's how we're watching the original series right now.
You know, I think it's okay, too, to like, I think because of all the streaming and stuff we're doing, there's so many choices and new shows and new series to watch. It's okay to dip back into some of the older stuff because, A, you haven't seen it in a while. B, you don't have to watch it every day. You can binge on it. So dipping back into some good quality shows, whether it's from today or 40 years ago, man, things have changed a little bit, huh?
Yeah, quite a bit. We are catching up on, I forgot the full title. The Dublin Murders.
Mm.
It's a short series based on a couple of books. Bridget read the book several years ago. And what they've done on this, as opposed to, say, Dune, the series, where they get more than enough in one book, they didn't try to combine more than one book. But in this, they've combined the events in the two books. And it's very well done. There's just so many characters, you're kind of lost at times about who's who and what's what. And then they just they end each episode with a gotcha. And you're sitting there dumbfounded trying to figure out what the heck's going on. It's very good.
The other show you texted me this afternoon was My Mother the Car, which is really interesting that you're going back and watching that.
I have special bootlegs DVDs of that. And I try to imitate the voice
Of the car.
Of the car. Yeah, well, of course, it's My Mother the Car.
Hello.
Thank you very much.
So we were just catching up. Literally, this happened this morning. Was it yesterday or today? I don't even remember now. I think it was yesterday.
We started yesterday.
And I was telling you about, like, these things are popping up. And, of course, now I'm sharing them with everybody that I love because there's some really interesting stories out there about, like, phrases we use every day. Even phrases, and all my kids don't use these exact phrases, but they might use one or two of them. Like, what is a cat got your tongue? And I'm like, you know, now I'm asking, what do you think that means? Like what do they think that means? Or, hey, we're going to paint the town red. Let's bury the hatchet. I'm going to read you the riot act. The walls have ears. Blood's thicker than water. What do these things mean? And I've been going down this rabbit hole on, I think, on Instagram and stories and stuff.
You got me started when you called yesterday.
No.
And I'm like, oh, this will be no problem. And ever since, every minute of my life, I didn't sleep last night. You sent me down this rabbit hole that is going all the way to the other side of the planet.
Yeah, I was writing stuff down at 4 in the morning, to be honest.
Let's start this out because our Cubs and our White Sox are doing so good. They are succeeding at such a high level.
Yeah.
I want to start one out with, it's in the bag.
It's in the bag. Like, it's easy peasy. Easy peasy. It's done.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's baseball related.
Okay.
So, this version starts with the old New York Giants baseball team. They became San Francisco Giants. Began as a superstition in 1916. The Giants had a run of 26 consecutive wins. A bag filled with 72 extra baseballs would be put on the playing field at the beginning of each game. Those balls were used to replace any that were hit into the seats or any that became too dirty. The Giants, during the winning streak, fell under the impression that if they were in the lead during the ninth inning, carrying the ball bag off the field would ensure their win because, according to the team, they had captured the game in the bag. So the win is in the bag.
Okay. All right.
Not just in the bag.
All right. Well, you know, by the way, folks, if you have an idiom that's out there and you want to share with us, text us, call us 312-981-7200. My grandmother always used to say, mind your P's and Q's. Which meant to mind yourself is kind of what I got out of it, is behave yourself. Exactly.
Yeah.
So this expression has quite a few theories. The P, the favorite is the practice of chalking up a tab of drinks for later payment. The P refers to pints. The Q is quarts. So you tally up the right amount as to not cause confusion and offense, especially a customer with a few beers under his belt. So it was mind when you're logging in what you're drinking. And this happens at a lot of like speakeasies and private bars around the city. Like you have to mark down what you had for a cocktail so that they can bill you at the end of the month. But P refers to pints and Q is quarts. It's about mind your P's and Q's so when you get billed, it's accurate.
Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I've had more than my share of pints and Q's. I've run out from paying a few bar tabs, too. Did you know that that might happen once in a blue moon?
Oh, what is that? Tell me that one.
Once in a blue moon refers to the appearance of a second full moon within a calendar month, which actually only happens about every 32 months.
Okay.
So, about every 32 months.
So not very often.
Down the street.
Yeah.
Not very often, but you can walk down the street on that day and say, hey, today's happening once in a blue moon. And if you survive the walk down the street, you're a lucky man.
Wow. Okay. All right. I've got one more before we take a break here. The cat's got your tongue. And you say that to people. What is it?
Okay.
Yeah, they got nothing. I feel like two old guys here.
Okay.
The cat's got your tongue. And this is, some believe, it's related to ancient Egyptians, And when people were mouthing off or spreading rumors, they would cut out their tongues and feed them to cats. Therefore, the cat has got your tongue.
Okay.
Yeah, start looking him up, Dave. We're talking to Roger Badish.
That's just going to make me crazy.
Idioms is what we're talking about.
Crazier than I already am.
312-981-7200. Let's come up with some, folks. We'll talk about it next.
Dave Fire, WGN.
We are talking to Roger Badish. David Jennings is joining in on some idioms here. I've got two texters that texted in. 312 was Bury the Hatchet, has a Native American origin. When two tribes settled their differences to live in harmony, they buried a war hatchet in the ground to satisfy that agreement. So that's that one. What about cold shoulder? Give them the cold shoulder. Do you know what that is?
Oh, I know what that is.
Okay.
It doesn't just mean turning your back on someone, even though that's what we do now, basically. It originated from medieval etiquette. So after the feast, the host in England would subtly signal that the meal was over and everyone had to get out of the castle, and they did it by serving a cold slice of pork, mutton, or beef shoulder.
That's right.
So you got the cold shoulder, and it's like, oops. Time to go.
Yeah.
Let's skedaddle.
Thank you, Steve, from 630 on that one.
How about this one?
Yeah, yeah.
Pull someone's leg.
You got it? Go ahead. Go ahead with it, Dave.
I don't have it.
Oh, come on. Why don't you call in on the text or on the phone lines, David, then we'll answer your questions. All right, we'll look that up because someone also asked us, what is that's not kosher? What's the phrase that's not kosher coming from?
Well,
I hear everyone typing.
Yeah, right.
And,
okay, pull someone's leg. Definition and meaning
actually is that's not kosher means that there are in the Jewish in the very strict Jewish observation because there are several divisions of being Jewish. Some follow the law strictly, and they keep two sets of dishes. They keep one for the Sabbath, and that is keeping kosher. There are certain foods you cannot have in the home. You must clean everything on the Sabbath. You are not to do anything on the Sabbath. There are certain foods that cannot touch or be near each other.
Yep.
So you're keeping kosher. And you
it's what? Is it dairy? Dairy and meat have to be separate?
Yes.
Okay.
And so you can check this out by whenever you buy a box of something or a can of something, because many of them are kosher, you will see the Hebrew letters, the reading in Hebrew, the backward C with a dot in it, what looks like a W, and what looks like, I don't know, kind of like a hammer.
Isn't parv another word for that,
yes,
too?
Parv.
Well, and it kind of means that's not cool. You know, that's not kosher. That's not cool. What about pulling your leg?
Okay.
Another meaning,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
As a lot of Yiddish words and terms have gone into idioms in the English language. So,
sure, sure.
But, you know, we're just chewing the fat. Did you know that?
Boom, boom.
You're just chewing the fat.
Chewing the fat? Chewing the fat?
Yeah. Chewing the fat.
Yeah.
So sailors had to keep food that would keep on their long journeys.
Fat.
And one of them was salted pork skin, which consisted largely of fat. Sailors would only eat that if all the other food was gone, and they often complained as they did, and so the idle chatter as they were chewing the fat became known as
chewing the fat.
All right,
pulling someone's leg.
Yeah, it's
telling someone something that isn't true as a way of joking with them.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. I've got caught red-handed, and that is from an old English law that ordered any person to be punished for butchering an animal that wasn't his own, and the only way the person could be convicted is if he was caught with the animal's blood still on his hands or in his fingernails. So it was caught red-handed on that one. What else you got?
Really? Have you ever heard the phrase close but no scar?
Yes.
Oh, that was close, but no cigar.
It's a carnival game, wasn't it?
Believe it or not,
yeah.
Yes, it was carnival games, because mm-hmm. back in the 30s, they didn't give stuffed toys and all of that.
Well, they gave the children cigars.
The men would be... He was a very short man. But that's what they did. Yeah. The prizes were cigars. And so if you missed, they would say close, but no cigar.
One for the road. And this one I find fascinating. It's like that final drink. I'll have one for the road, whatever that means. Like, people say mm-hmm. it. I hear people say it. What the hell does it mean? So during the...
Sinatra said it.
Yeah, he did.
Remember?
He did.
One
he
for
did.
My baby and one more for the road.
Yeah, Frank meant during the Middle Ages... The condemned ones were taken through what today is known as Oxford Street to their execution. And during this final trip to be executed, the cart that they were strapped to would stop and they would be allowed to have one final drink before their death.
Wow. I would make it a very, very, very Ooh, tall glass.
Yeah.
You know, the Bears played yesterday.
What?
And, yeah, the Bears, we're in football season, baby.
And they won.
The Bears played yesterday, and they won, even though it was rain-shortened. But still, they won. Mm-hmm. We'll take it. And did you know that they went the whole 9 yards? But it's not football-related.
Right.
What is it? And what's the real meaning?
No, whole 9 yards went back to World War II. Fighter pilots were equipped with 9 yards of ammunition. When they ran out, it meant that they had tried their best at fighting off the target with the entirety of their ammunition.
Ah, okay.
Okay, all right. I've got two more here I want to share with you. We got about a minute left. Put a sock in it, and that was because of the old gramophones, the record players that had the big horns that came out, if there was no volume control, so people would stuff clothing and socks in it to reduce the noise of that. And this is just one that I just thought was really interesting. They were talking about blue states and red states. We talk about, of course, as we're going into the presidential election here, in a truly patriotic dispute, the practice of referring to Democratic and Republican strongholds as blue states and red states began with fireworks. And in 1900, the Chicago Tribune planned to light blue fireworks to signify Republican wins and red for Democratic wins. And a competing newspaper announced plans to set off fireworks with the opposite colors, and that's what stuck. And that's all the time I have for today. I got about 500 more of these, Roger, and so do you.
You have turned loose the beast.
Let's do a part two of this coming up soon.
You got it, buddy. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Dave, have a good one.
Thank you, Mr.
You too, Roger.
See you, pal.